this evening. We are looking forward to hearing from Mr. Corey Duncan. I think everyone maybe has had a chance to meet Corey and his wife Jenny, and it's good to have Jenny with us tonight. And Elin is in the back, and Clara is on her way. It's Claire. Okay, sorry. Claire is on her way, and so hopefully any week now she will be joining their family, and so you want to pray for them. I think you all know this, but they're from out in Utah, and they served overseas in Africa for 2 years, and then have been back here for a year and a half now in Louisville. So we're excited to have them to come be a part of the team and to come move forward and be faithful and serve in this community and in our church. And so, Corey, we're looking forward to hearing from you tonight and can come.
Ben introduced me. I'm Corey Duncan, and this is my wife, Jenny, and we have a daughter, Elin, and baby that's on the way named Claire. But I just want to say thank you just for your graciousness to us and just welcoming us in and letting us feel like family. We're really excited to be a part of the church, and we could, if you want to talk sometime after, I'd give you a more detailed story of just how God brought us to this church. We just feel like it was the gracious hand of God that gave me an opportunity to serve here for, Lord willing, hopefully till I'm done with school and seminary. So I'm really grateful for that. Before I start, let's just pray. I'll just say prayer and then get started. Lord God, thank you just for this opportunity to be here, to be with this group, this body of believers in this time and in this moment in history, and this time here at Vine Street Baptist Church. And I just pray that you would fill me with your spirit and with your grace and humility just to be a blessing to these people, Lord, as you have blessed us so richly. And I pray that we all would have that mindset of looking outward as we have been blessed beyond measure through Christ. And so just help us to do that. And now just encourage us by our own stories and just your faithfulness to us, and especially your story of redemption and coming to earth and redeeming and saving us from our sins. We thank you now. I pray that you'd encourage us by your word, and you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, some of you might have already heard this, so forgive me if it's a little redundant, but I just wanted to start off with just a short, just a brief testimony of who I am and how I became a believer, and then from there I'm going to share a passage of scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 7. To start off, I was born and raised in Salt Lake City, Utah. Go Utes. So I was born and raised in Salt Lake City. I do have a Mormon background in my family. On my dad's side, we had some of the pioneers that came over from like Illinois and stuff, that when they trekked over to Utah, I have some of those roots in me, in my history and my genealogy. But my family and my mom and dad were both raised in Salt Lake too, but they were never just strong, devout Mormons. They just kind of did the Mormon thing. Kind of similar in a way. Sometimes when you're in Bible Belt areas, sometimes it's just like a cultural thing. I mean, people just sometimes they'll just go to church if they go to church. In Utah, it's very much like that. And a lot of people just go to church because they'll kind of be outcast if they don't, or won't have a social outlet or whatever, so they join the church. But I don't know. I just remember, I always remember thinking back. I remember that I never believed in that. I always didn't know that. I knew that wasn't true. There was just something wrong with it. But in my mind, I always believed in God, knew there was a God, but didn't really, I didn't really, I didn't know the gospel. I knew of Jesus. I knew the name. I knew that he came to die on the cross for sins, but I didn't know him in a personal way. And, but it wasn't until just God really moved in my family's life, and even more particular in my brother's life, where I just saw, or sorry, where God, I think, just began to work in my own heart. I know that he used that in a great way, because I began to see, especially just in my brother, I began to see the change in his life. He used to, curse like a sailor. He committed just heinous acts of sin that, I mean, he wouldn't care that shared this. He would share this openly with people. He at one time shared with Jenny, and she's like, "That's a little too much information. I need to know." But, anyways, so I just knew the difference that I'd seen in him, and so he began to preach to me from time to time. Actually, not from time to time. He preached constantly. And if you knew my brother, you would understand it more. But he was very, sometimes he'd be pretty abrasive about it, and upfront and confrontational, which I didn't care for. But I know that God used that, because, I'd go back into my room sometimes, and when nobody was looking, I'd go read my Bible. I'd go check it out, see what, maybe, not necessarily what he said, just I wanted to look at it. I remember one time looking at it and seeing that God was angry at somebody, and that just made me tremble, like, the God of the universe being, that he's displeased or has anger towards somebody. That just really brought a lot of fear into my life. But, so yeah, but he still shared the gospel with me, and I knew that was true. I don't know why really, but I mean, looking back, I know why. It was just God's spirit working in me. But I just knew that it was true, and I knew that I wasn't right with God. And I was fearful for a long time, probably for about a year. I just kind of lived in fear of basically judgment. I knew that I needed Christ in my life. I knew I was a sinner. I knew that if I didn't have Christ, that that I would perish. So I ran from God. Well, I guess, I mean, for several reasons, but probably the main reason, thinking about it, looking back, was because I cared what people thought of me a lot. I wanted to be popular. I loved being popular. I loved, not that I was popular really, I really wasn't, but I liked people thinking highly of me. I liked people looking at me and say, "Yeah, he's a cool guy. He's really cool." Yeah, so I just really cared what my family would think, what my friends would think. I know that like that, just kind of that praise of man, wanting man's approval, really. That was kind of the idol that I wanted to hold on to, I think, before I came to faith in Christ. But I had a lot of close friends, and I just knew that if I became a Christian, I'd be laughed at, or I just would be thought less of, and I didn't want that. So it took, I mean, it was a long time. I remember just sometimes just driving to work and just fearful of dying, and fearful of just of eternity. And but my parents. I thank God for my parents and my brother, because I know they still continually love me and prayed for me. And just looking back, it's just, I'm grateful for their prayers. And just for, I mean, if any of you have unbelieving sons or daughters, I mean, it's just an encouragement to, be faithful and keep praying, because God's gonna work in them. He's gonna do something. So the prayers were answered. And but just finally, it just came to the point eventually that I knew that I had to do something. I just had to make, if you want to call it a decision or whatever, but I just knew that I needed Christ. And it was about 12 years ago. I just felt that I was still wrestling with that whole thing of being liked by people and wanting to be liked. I'm wondering what my friends would think, and caring a bunch what they would think of me. And so I just, I don't know. It wasn't an audible voice. It might have, but I just feel like it was, the Spirit of God, say to me that that I didn't have to stand before my friends, before eternity, but that I'd stand before God and not them. He was my final judge. And so that I think that was just my point of maybe accepting Christ or coming. I believe just from that point, I mean, is when I was saved and when God began to just work in my own heart and change me. I remember just growing in the Word a lot. I kind of lost my friends in a way. I mean, they stopped hanging out with me because I try to start telling them about Jesus or whatever, and they didn't care to hear that. And so I don't know, I just lost my friends a lot, most of them. So I remember I didn't have anything to do on a Friday, Saturday night. I didn't have any more friends really, so I just would kind of just read my Bible. So it was a great time where God used to just help me to grow in Him and learn more about His Word. And that was very critical. But then He was gracious and provided me with Christian brothers and sisters that, you know, really cared for me and loved me and prayed for me, and they were very influential in my life. But I share the just my testimony of how I came to faith, not just how I wanted to let you guys know of kind of who I am, who my background is. And I mean, this is it might not feel condensed, but I try to make it condensed if I could. But just, you know, my life. And if you want to know more sometime, love to chat and tell you more, but just wanted to share that. One, just to let you know more about me, where I'm coming from, where God has led me in my faith journey, and how I came to faith. But also, I just wanted to do it as in just to give you an instance of remembrance and remembering things. So I want to, with that said, I want to share a passage of scripture of an example of remembering. We'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 7. And just to give you a quick background of it, it's you know the story of Sam. If you don't, I mean, I'll try to give a brief background of Samuel. You know, this is just shortly after he'd been called by the Lord. If you remember, God spoke to him a few times, which he didn't recognize it or realize it was God. He thought the priest Eli was talking to him, which, I mean, I think we all relate to that sometimes. We don't know if we're hearing the voice of God with certain things or whatever, so we can relate. But anyways, shortly after that, after that calling, and the ark of the covenant had just been taken from them by the Philistines in a battle, and they took the ark away from Israel, and they faced a lot of repercussions for doing that. God began to strike the people with tumors and various other things as they took that, but then they had gotten it. So they've gotten, but then they, it's eventually sent back because they want nothing to do with it because they feel like Israel's God, you know, this must have to be something to do with this. They eventually, it's coming back to Israel and it's come back. So this is kind of where we pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And I'm just going to start with verse 3. And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, "If you're returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the people of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that He may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord, and Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew back or drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were routed before Israel. And the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer. For he said, "Till now the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. I think it's, I don't know if Ben mentioned anything about, I was actually wanting somebody to sing Come Thou Fount today, just because it had to do with kind of what I was talking about. Especially the second verse of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing says that, it says, "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come." The first time I heard that song, I always wondered, what is an Ebenezer? The only time I had heard of an Ebenezer was Ebenezer Scrooge, and I knew that probably didn't have anything to do with that song. But I was just, so I never knew, and it wasn't until a college group, I was at a part of a college group gathering when I was at the University of Utah, and I remember the guy that spoke, he had mentioned, we sang that song, and then he actually told us what, you know, he said what it meant. I was like, oh, good, now I know what that, now I can actually sing the words and mean them from my heart, because I know what, you know, I know what it means instead of just singing a word I don't know about. But so when we look at that part of the scripture, it says that that Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer. Now literally, that word Ebenezer means stone of help. Most people probably back then, or no one back then, you know, had a piece of paper, a notepad, and a pen, you know, that they might write down, okay, this is where God, you know, this day God did this for us, and we're going to write it down. Like, some of us, you know, we might have journals or whatever, and we write, okay, this is a, write it down so we don't forget. So, anyways, he had set that up so it would be a remembrance that they would see as a stone of help, a time that God had helped, that he had helped Israel, and deliver them from the hand of the Philistines. And you can look, as we look at the passage, you can look at why he wanted to do that. You know, sometimes we might, for me personally, like if I have prayed for something, and I see God answered or something, you know, I don't do this. I'm not trying to give the impression that I do this a lot, because I don't. I'd like to do it more. But, you know, I might write something down where God answered my prayer. And so I can look back, you know, and say, okay, God answered my prayer. And you can, I mean, that's encouraging, you know, that God would answer your prayer, that God would hear you, and he'd listen to you, and he'd be faithful and gracious to answer you. And so in this way, Samuel wanted to set up this remembrance for Israel. As you know, they have a pretty long history of forgetting things. I know, you know, you've been going through Deuteronomy, and Ben's been preaching through that. And I mean, it's a huge theme of that book is like remembering what God has done. Remember, you know, where you were when God brought you out of the land of slavery, out of Egypt. And I remember just a few weeks ago, he talked about, you know, like the feast and the Passover. I mean, all these have a purpose to it, to remember, because they were forgetful. And so here he wanted just to set up, you know, another reminder of just God's faithfulness to them. And even in just a few passages before he sets that up, I mean, you see God's faithfulness to them. He says that, you know, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, put away all the foreign gods and serve him only. Just kind of a paraphrase. But he had prayed that, or he had called the people to repentance, you know, and if they did, he says, you know, direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and the Lord, he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So they just heard this, And then, you know, that just the next passage is just an example of you know, they begin this these acts of repentance. You know, it talks about them turning back to the Lord, and so they can see, you know, they can set up this help and think, you know, this is what Samuel said the Lord would do if we would turn. You know, he would deliver us into the hands of the Philistines. That's exactly what God did. He delivered them into the hands of the Philistines. And also just his prayer, you know, that they would be delivered, and God answered. So I just think this is a good just a reminder for us of just to set up these. I know we just the human condition. We all just we're forgetful. We're forgetful people, and I know I'm 32, but I know it's just you. And the older you get, it's not. You know, it's not getting any easier to remember things. I barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning, let alone like a week ago. Another example I thought of is just like how big certain events are, like the Kentucky Derby, you know, here in Louisville. It's a big deal. And when somebody wins it, you're like, did you hear who won? Like, you know, I think it was Mind That Bird, right? That won last year. Is that right? Am I right? No? Well, I think Mind That Bird won. I'm pretty sure he won. But, I mean, people, so you can talk about that for a year, or who won the Super Bowl? You know, okay, I remember, you know, it was the Green Bay Packers just recently. That was just a couple months ago. But who won the Derby, or who won the Super Bowl 5 years ago? Do you remember that? Well, some people might. I remember seeing a 60 Minutes where a guy knew, like, the scores from 1970 of Pittsburgh Steelers and somebody. I don't know why. That was just that was weird. But most people don't remember things. We just forget things, and we forget it's so easy to forget what God has done for us. And you know, even in, you know, sharing my testimony, it's a good reminder just to think back of who I was before God, of what I loved before God, and what I cherished before God came into my life. You know, they were foolish, vain things, and I was on a path to destruction. And I think it's good for us to have these marks, and whether you share your testimony with somebody, I don't know what the, you know, what the, or if there is one, a formula of like how many times you need to think about, you know, your time before Christ in a month or a week or a day or whatever. But it is good for us, I think, to think back where you were before God, and what He's done for you, and what you would be without Him. Because it's, I don't know about you, it's scary to think, for myself, it's really scary to think of what I would be, or where I would be, if Christ didn't save me. It's just a scary thought. So I think first, it just, by remembering, I think it cultivates in us humility and gratefulness. As I just said, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So I think when we think about that, it's going to cultivate gratefulness, because we can think back and say, hey, look what God's done in my life. And it cultivates humility. Too, like if we think of it's anything that we've done on our own, or on our own accord or strength of why we are here. Like none of us is here at Vine Street Church or Vine Street Baptist Church or a believer. Period. You know, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, you know, working in our hearts and changing us and saving us. Another reason why we need to just practice remembering is that it cultivates faith and trust. I just know it's so easy to get discouraged. I mean, whether it's by circumstances or just attacks from the enemy. I mean, I wanted to share briefly, just, I mean, even Even trying to prepare this message, I had a lot of just attacks of thoughts and thinking back of just poor sinful choices I've made or doubts I've had and this was I don't know, I just it was just kind of I would say it's random, but it wasn't random because I'm trying to prepare a message on remembering and I'm remembering, but I'm not remembering the right things. I'm remembering bad things, and God was gracious to me and used Jenny like He does so many times just to speak truth into my life and to remember where I've been and remember what God's done and to press forward. But I mean, whether it's a financial bind we're in, or if you're unemployed, or you're going through a period of doubt, and it's just good to have these reminders in your own life that you can say. I mean, even in First Samuel, he says, "Till now, the Lord has helped us." And you can, if we have kind of these, it, and well, it, to go back to that, it's kind of assuming too. Till now, the Lord has helped us, implying that that God's going to continue to help us. You set up these markers, and maybe. There's a time where you're unemployed or lost a loved one or just anything. I mean, there's just these hardships that we go through. We need to have these reminders of, okay, maybe you're unemployed and then that check came in the mail randomly that you didn't even expect and God just gave that to you. Or you were so discouraged and somebody sent you an email saying, "Hey, God just put you on my heart today. I was thinking about you in the prayer." And we need to remember have these markers, and so when we come to these new trials or whatever we're facing, we can look back and say, "Hey, Lord helped us then; He was faithful then." We need to remember that, and that God's going to be faithful again to us. So with all this said, like I said, it's not a message about the spiritual discipline of journaling. And that you need to journal, you need to write in your journal every day. I'm not saying that I'd be the biggest hypocrite ever because I don't journal every day. I don't, to be honest, I don't remember the last time I journaled. It's been a while. But I'd like to get back into it because I know that it's beneficial to my soul and my faith when I look back and see, where God's brought us and how we got here and what, that He's going to continue to provide and give us the grace for whatever we're going to face. So it's not that. But with that said, too, it's just think of if you're not into journaling or whatever, I mean, just sometimes you don't need a journal. Sometimes you just have a good memory and you can remember these things. But it's just good to look back at times in the past where God has answered your prayer or writing down prayer requests. I know we do that on Wednesday nights. I think, I mean, it's good that we do write them down, and if we save them, we can, maybe a week later, a month later, we can come back and look at this. Look, this is what God did. God heard us, and that should get us excited that God heard us. God answered us. We didn't deserve to be answered, and it should increase our faith and our assurance, that we're God's, and He's not going to forsake us. He's going to continue to use us and use His church for His glory. So I'm not trying to throw a burden, another burden on your back, because. I mean, just in our Sunday school law, the law or rules, they don't produce, lasting fruit. It just produces guilt. So, I want to. It's just an admonition, encouragement, and love. God tells us to remember not to throw a burden on our back, but it's for our own good that God does this. God is loving and He's gracious, and He's telling us to remember these things so that we can. Persevere and continue in the faith and in our race. And last, the good news of all of this though is that we are frail and we're broken and we're going to forget still. I mean, how many times you read through scripture that Israel forgot their God, and how many times do I daily forget my God and forget what He said and what His promises are. It's daily. So the good news still, and it's not like It's not like, oh, we're off the hook, we don't need to remember. We still need to. It's good. It's healthy for our own soul and our own well-being that we remember things. But the good news, though, of it that should spur us on to want to remember is that God has a perfect record of remembering us and remembering his covenant through Christ and his promises that, you know, that they never fail. And so, I mean, that's the good news, that even when, that's the grace that God gives us, that even when we don't remember, you know, he remembers. He's remembering us and sustaining us. Psalm 105, and you don't have to turn that if you don't want someone to read it, but there's a few just passages in Psalm 105, verse 8 says, "He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations." And then just a couple, depending on your Bible, just another page over, he says in Psalm 106, 44, it says, "Nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake, he remembered his covenant and relented according to the abundance of his steadfast love." So this should be, you know, these remembrances should be for us, to spur us forward, to spur us to continue to persevere. Even in Acts, Paul says that, you know, up till now, God has helped, he's continued to help me so that I may continue. And so these remembrances of the Lord are for us to, you know, give glory to God and remember him so that we might be encouraged and press forward. So that's all I have for tonight. But I wanted to just try to put it into a little bit of practice tonight. Just for, it's not going to be long. And I know I don't have to compete with the Kentucky game that they played yesterday. And sorry, I know it hurts. U of L lost, so you don't have to worry about that anymore. So you don't have to get home to watch that. But just maybe just take, like, well, just all of us just individually, just take a couple minutes and just to think back, you know, of where you were before Christ, and just give him thanks for that, and let that encourage you that that this change in your life, this person that you are now in Christ, is, there's no other way, no other explanation that it could be except that it's from God, that God saved you and changed you and helped you. And so we'll just first, just for a couple minutes, we'll all just think back, and then I'll say a brief prayer, and then also we'll do the same thing, but this, the second time around, we'll take a couple minutes and just think of God's faithfulness to Vine Street Baptist Church, corporately as a church, thinking back of God's faithfulness and just remembering what he's done to sustain this church. I know it's with every church, and I know we have a lot of people here who have been at this church for a long time, and they've seen the highs and the lows. You know, they've been on the mountain, and they've been in the deep valleys, and so just to think back at that, you know, even through those valleys, you know, till now, God has helped us. And, you know, we're here. God has sustained this, not just building, but this body of believers that are still here, and he's raising up, continuing to raise up people to keep this church ministering in this community. So let's just take just a couple minutes, and then I'll close this in a prayer for the first time, and then we'll think of God, thank you that we all have the same thing in common, and that we all once were enemies of God, and that we all once were dead in our sin, and we were born that way. So we all have this common ground, Lord. But thank you, God, that you have called each of us out of darkness in our own beautiful way and broken way out of our sin. And God, just help us to remember you. Help us remember what you have done, how you have changed us, how you've saved us, and how we are to live day by day. So we thank you, God, for this opportunity to reflect upon what you have done in our lives. And now just, we're going to just take again, just another 1 or 2 minutes, and just think about. And some of you, it'll be really, you'll have a long way to look back upon. I only have about a month to look back upon. I've only been here about a month, but just to look back and give thanks and be encouraged of how God has brought Vine Street Baptist Church up till now. Father, we just want to give you one last time tonight before we close and just give you thanks, Lord, just for this church. We thank you for the building, but we thank you even more just for the body, Lord, that has served here, and just for the many, Lord, that are even in this room that have persevered and seen just some wonderful times of fruitfulness in this ministry here, and I'm sure have been through just some of the darkest valleys, Lord, but thank you that you have sustained their faith and sustained them and sustained this body of believers, Lord, that they may be a light in this community and in their own world and their workplaces. And God, we just do ask that you would give us great grace and strength and perseverance and remembrance as we press on in this next chapter of this church and this grant us humility and love and just a pure heart and just a genuine care and love for the body around us and for the community, God, that surrounds this place. And may you be pleased to use us in whichever way that you